have excited kids this morning. Mum's got breakfast and bread, did you? Had a bit of a sleep in and the kids pampered you a little bit. So it's good. Well, I just want to talk this morning. We know that the name of the church is Grow Church, and we've been looking at growing people. Now we're looking at releasing ministry. I really want to have a whole look at that whole heart of service and giving, which really is shown so much and demonstrated so clearly in mothers. And so I want to look at three ladies this morning from the scripture. I want to look at Hannah, Lydia, and Dorcas. Two of the mothers, one of them possibly was a mother, but we'll have a look at that as we go through. I want to highlight these three women, powerful women of God who gave and served so much, and just to look at their heart, which is a great picture to us. If we have a look at the heart of God, God definitely is a father. Some people want to pray to him as mother. No, the scripture says he relates to us as a father. But certainly his heart of nurturing, compassion, a lot of the characteristics that mothers display, certainly God does that. And even the passage where Pastor Pat referred to, where Jesus wants to gather us like little chicks under the wings and to protect us in that way. But I want to talk about loving and serving in that way and how that is a demonstration of love. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, so we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And I want to talk about the expression of love, that the outworking of love is that it's outworked in practical ways. And certainly that's the heart that God wants each of us to have, and certainly the heart that mothers demonstrate to us as they serve and give in so many ways. I want to have a look, first of all, at Hannah. So if you want to turn to 1 Samuel, you need your Bible this morning, so grab out your Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And make sure you bring your Bible. Don't always have every scripture up there. 1 Samuel chapter 2, we're going to read verses from 18 to 21. I want to have a look at Hannah's story, and particularly her heart towards little Samuel. Now, it's an interesting story for Hannah. Hannah was someone who desperately wanted to be a mother. Desperately. Every part of her ached and yearned, longed to be a mother. And her situation was a difficult one, because her husband didn't have one wife, her husband had two wives. First wife, many, many children. Hannah was unable to have children, and it was so disturbing and so distressing to Hannah, so much desperately wanting to have a child. It's certainly in their culture, certainly in that time, that the role of a woman was to have children. A woman didn't want one child, she wanted as many children as she can possibly have within her lifetime. That was her preeminent goal of a woman in those times, in that age, was to have as many children as she physically possibly could sustain, she could have. And it was certainly very much honoured. And for a woman in the culture there, not to have a child was something very, very difficult. And what made it even more difficult is this other wife was always hanging on her all the time, always putting her down, always just lowering her. The poor lady was struggling herself. And then this other wife, her husband's other wife, really gave her a very difficult time. And the story goes that she's there and she's crying out to God, and she goes and she's praying so desperately, so passionately before God, that Eli the priest sees her praying and sees this woman who's just so intent and tears streaming down her face, just pouring her heart out so intensely. He thinks she's a drunkard. And to add insult to injury, he goes up to her and says, you know, you're drunk. Where can you be drunk at this time of the day? Gives her a hard time. Already her heart is breaking and broken. And then he goes and hangs it on her and accuses her of being drunk. She says, no, I'm not drunk. I'm just crying out to God. Anyway, God graciously hears the prayer of Hannah. And then she has this little boy called Samuel. And her prayer, it's amazing that when she has Samuel, that her prayer was, Lord, if you give me this child, Lord, I'm going to give him to you. I want to give him to you. And that's the best thing that any parent can ever do for their children, is to give them to God, to bring them up in the ways of God, to bring them up in his ways, to give their children over to God. And that's what Hannah did, a very precious thing, something we refer to when we dedicate little babies. We quite often, as we dedicate them, we refer to that because it's such a wonderful picture for us. So this lady so desperately wanted this little boy Samuel. And then she goes and then fulfills her commitment. She actually, when the baby is weaned, she's no longer feeding the baby. He's no longer a baby, he's a little boy. Then she takes him off to the priest Eli, that he might be brought up as a servant of God in the house of God. And that certainly was her heart and her prayer. One of the things that really touches me about this story as I read it, and we're not going to read the whole passage, but you can read it yourself there, but is the heart of a mother. Now just imagine the need that she had. Society, she certainly had an incredible need, that her status of a woman was determined by the children she had, and certainly the number of the children she had, and also her future provision. If that her husband was to die, then the only source of provision she would have for any sons that she had that would look after her. And so she had a strong need. But one of the things that she did is that she wanted the very best for her child. And so she put her own son's need, which was really to be brought up in the ways of God, far beyond her own. And which always amazes me, this remarkable woman who wanted the very best for her child. She wanted God's best for her child. And the most precious thing that a mother can ever bring their child is acknowledge of the things of God. That is the most precious gift that any mother can give their children. Any grandmother can give their grandchildren. Anyone can give is the knowledge to know the things of God. And that's what she wanted to do. She wanted him to be brought up in the ways of God. That is a very precious gift of mothers. And mothers, I honour you for your heart in doing that and to nurture and encourage that. But one of the other things that really touches me, as I said, is that she had this huge need. It was a social pressure. She had her, I don't know what you call your husband's other wife, your wife-in-law, I have no idea. But the pressure she was getting from this other woman was horrendous. And finally, that is all answered. She has this own little child of her own. And then the need, the emotional need that she had was such a strong emotional need. The pressure from society, the pressure from this other woman, and also her own emotional need. But like mothers quite often do, she went and she put that aside and she actually gave this child over to God. And so the child didn't live with her anymore. She'd see her child once a year. She got to see the child when they went up, when they travelled. They lived up in the hill country, so when they travelled quite a long way from where they were to offer the sacrifices. And that was the heart that she had, the heart of a mother. One of the things that really touches me, we have a look at 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verses 18 to 21 about little Samuel. It says, "But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up to her husband to offer, with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, 'May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord.' Then they would go home. The Lord was gracious to Hannah. She conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord." But I can just imagine this mother who desperately, so much, all she wanted was a child. That's all she wanted so much, was to have this little child. But she knew the most important thing that any mother could ever give their child is to bring them up in the ways of God. And the other thing was that she put her own emotional need, she put that aside, despite the taunting, despite the pressure of society, that rather than walking out in public, "Here's my little child," she actually gave her child over so that she'd only see her child once a year. Incredible demonstration of a sacrificial love of the mother in this case. But the thing that really touches me is that every year I can just imagine her, and there she's got out her little, I don't know, knitting needles that probably weren't knitting, a little wheel, whatever it was, that making the cloth, spinning the cloth, and that she'd make this little linen ephod for little Samuel every year. And I can just imagine that because this is her one chance that she has every year when she goes up to see Samuel. I just imagine the amount of love that she put into that. I don't believe it was something, "Oh, we've got to go up tomorrow, I better quick whip something up for Samuel." I'm sure that was something that she put a lot of time and a lot of effort into, to doing that. And I just honour that factor about mothers who actually do that, who actually put a lot of time into things. And quite often we can just take that for granted. It's just something that they've done. "Oh, it's just another piece of clothing. I needed it anyway, didn't I?" But the love that would have gone into that is what really touches my heart. The other thing about that is that when I look at Hannah, this woman that is separated from a child, and for a good reason, because she's given him over to the service of the Lord, but then therefore she's now restricted in how she can actually show her love to her child. She can't be there when he falls over, little Samuel scrapes his knee. She's not going to be there to kiss his little knee, to clean it up. She's not going to be there to wipe the tears away. She's not going to be there when in the night, if he has a bad dream or something, she can't go to him. And there's some mothers that are physically restricted these days. You have all sorts of circumstances that happen because of the broken families and all of the carnage and problems that that actually does cause. Some mothers get physically separated from their children, very difficult for them. But some mothers are separated by even their own dysfunction. Some mothers have gone through some pretty hard things. Some mothers have gone through difficult circumstances, maybe part of their own upbringing, maybe some abuse or something that they suffered in their own life. And because of that, even though they may even be physically present, because of that dysfunction, it actually stops them being able to demonstrate the love perhaps in the way that they could. But and even as Samuel, you think a little Samuel growing up, he probably didn't really fully understand that how much his mother loved him. Thought, you know, I thought my mum loved me. As soon as she's finished feeding me, she shunts me off here and I only get to see my mum once a year. As a little boy growing up, he may not have fully understood, but I'm sure that when he was a man, when he looked back and he reflected on, well, what did my mother do for me? She gave me a knowledge of God. The most precious thing that any woman, any mother could give was to do that. But also the sacrifices that she made for him. And mothers, I really honour the sacrifices that mothers made and make, incredible sacrifices. She sacrificed so much to see that little one grow up. But even because of her circumstances, she couldn't be there all the time. And as I said, some mothers can't always be there for whatever reason, but they do what they can. And I'm sure that when Samuel grew up, he looked back and he appreciated the love that was shown to him by his mother. Could not always be there for him, but what she could do, she did. And that's what the Lord really wants every one of us to do, is we show love to one another. The things that we can do, there's things that we can't do, but what we can do, we do the very best, and we pour our heart and we pour our love into it. And I'm sure that's what Hannah would have done. Every time as she's making that little ephod for Samuel, as she's putting that together for him to wear, the amount of love that goes into that. And mothers, they do that. They will show loves in the way they can. And so we honour mothers. Some of you have had mothers, as you look back, think, wow, thank God for my mother. She's a perfect mother. I honour my mother, a very godly woman. Not a perfect woman, because I've never met a perfect woman. I've never met a perfect person, to be honest. But a great woman who I love and has put me up in the ways of God. I honour her for that. But there's some when they look back, and mothers, and maybe the mothers have struggled. And maybe they were physically there, but maybe because of own dysfunction, they struggled in some way. But we can look back and honour them, because maybe they couldn't do everything that maybe we wanted. Little Samuel, there would have been things he would, oh, I wish my mum was here for this. But they did what they can, and we honour that. We honour the heart that does what it could. And so we honour mothers. But certainly that heart to sacrifice, and that she put her own emotional needs above her own. I really honour Hannah for that. I honour mothers who do that all of the time, put their own emotional needs above their own children to honour them. Not that the children will rule their life. It was interesting that, you know, she wasn't freaking out, I wonder what's happening to him. She was able to hand him over to God. And mothers, that's important for mothers to do that. Mothers need to be able to hand their children over to God and not where they live the emotions out through their children. And sometimes it's hard when you see some mothers that their emotions are actually living out through their child. If the child is going through a difficult time, they actually wear that emotion. It's one thing to love our children, but it's another thing to have their emotion inside of us. We can't do that. You can't actually love them or mother them, father them, brother them, care for people if you're actually letting their emotional entanglement twist you up that you can't love them cleanly without all of that turmoil going on with inside your heart. And so there's a pure love that comes through. And I appreciate that in Hannah, a godly woman who showed that. He loved his son. And I'm sure Samuel, when he looked back, would honour his mother. And maybe when you look back, you'll be able to say, well, yeah, well, maybe my mother was not there in every way, perhaps, that maybe I would have wanted. But I honour her because she did what she could. And certainly that's what Hannah did. There's another woman. Let's have a look at Acts chapter 16. I want to look briefly at this remarkable woman, Lydia, Acts chapter 16. Lydia is an interesting woman. She's obviously a woman of means. She was a very wealthy woman. And I just want to read about her in Acts chapter 16. Maybe I'll read down from verses 11 to 15. So it's Acts chapter 16, reading down from 11 down to 15. From Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and next day onto Neapolis. From there we travelled to Philippi, a Roman colony, a leading city of the district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. So there's this woman, Lydia, who just sitting down there with these other women. Not a place necessarily you would find her, as she's a wealthy woman. But she was gathered with these other ladies that were there. And one of the things that struck me first of all when I look at Lydia is first of all that she was a worshipper of God. She believed in God, but the important thing about Lydia, even though she believed in God, says she worshipped God, but she didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't know Jesus. She's a worshipper of God. And there are many people that go through and maybe go to church or go to prayer meetings or go to whatever who believe in God, maybe worship God, but don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And this lady was obviously a good woman with a good heart. But at the end of the day, when she listened to the gospel as was presented to her, she realized that, well, being a good woman is not actually enough. Even believing in God, even loving that there's a God, yes, and I love God, was not enough. It was not enough. She had to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's the gospel that Paul would have been speaking to her. That's the message that he would have been saying to her. We would have been talking about the love of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died on the cross in her place for her sins, that he was risen again from the dead, and that if we give our heart to Jesus Christ, if we allow him to be the sacrifice for our sin, we have the promise of eternal life with him. And so as she sat, she listens to Paul, she hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, and she responds, even though she knew there was a God, believed in God, even worshipped God, she didn't know Jesus Christ. She didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and she needed to have that. She has this incredible revelation of Jesus, and her heart is just so overwhelmed. And then so she opens up her heart, and like many women, like many mothers, is that she has this wonderful heart for hospitality. And so she gets her family all gathered together. They all get baptized. They all come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then she says, gets to the disciples and says, come on, you've got to come to my house. Now it says here that she persuaded us. I think she was very persuasive, actually. I think she would have said, look, come guys, want you to come over to my house. And I'm sure they would have refused. Because she has to say, she says something very strongly, if you consider me a believer, then come to my home. It's a pretty strong statement. It wasn't, oh, no, 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 no. She says, come on. And then she's backwards and forth trying to say, come on, come on. I want you to come to my home. And they're saying, oh, look, you know, no. If you consider me a believer, come to my house. Come and stay at my house. And so eventually she persuaded. And this woman who found Christ, one thing to know God, one thing to even worship God, another thing to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you haven't done that today, you even believe God, maybe even worship him, but you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, this is a great day for you to do that. But she showed love, this woman, through her hospitality. And that's one of the things that women do, and particularly mothers do, that heart for preparing meals and what they do. And I just honor mothers for that. I honor mothers for the time and care that you put into the way that you provide for that. You saw that little clip with the guy there, the kids there, they got their Coke for breakfast and the cream down the throat. And I just honor mothers for what they do in the hospitality. And the way that they show love through that, I'm talking about a love that works. And motherhood is a great example to us of love that is practically demonstrated. So as we looked at a week or two ago, we talked about, look, it's really got to, if you're really going to show love, it's got to have some hands on it as well. Great to talk about it, great to encourage, wonderful thing, but there's got to be some hands on love. And I honor that in mothers, the way that they do that. And certainly that was Lydia's heart, but also being very persuasive and to be persistent. And that quality for mothers to be persistent. Some of you have got children, even today, that when you're looking back, you know, some it may be even a little bit painful in some way as a mother, because maybe some of the hopes and the dreams that you've had for your children, and maybe they don't seem like they're going down that track. But I honor you in your persistence. You never write your kids off. You keep honoring them before God. You keep praying before the Lord. Keep praying. Never give up on your kids. If your kids are going off the rails, you're struggling, And maybe they're estranged from you, that even on a Mother's Day, that you, even though your heart's going out to them, maybe you're not even going to get a phone call or something this day. Just be persistent in love. It's that love that is persistent. What Pastor Pat shared about communion, that the way that Christ loves us. Man, if he gave up on us, and really all of us are worthy of him giving up on us. Really, we don't deserve the love that he gives us. So much love, unconditional love, constant, continual love. And that's the heart that the Lord has for us. But I honour that heart in mothers who don't ever want to give up on the children. Never write off your kids. Always love. Always persist. Persist and persist in prayer. Persist in loving them, accepting them. And as a mother, look, you'll see every fault in your children. As parents, we know our kids really well. And as you know your kids, you look at them and you know things that aren't perfect in them. But I tell you what, your kids look at you and they go, oh, I can see a few things in you. You're not so perfect either. But despite knowing all of those faults, knowing all of the flaws, the mother continues to love. And I honour that in mothers. Always persevere. And if your children are somehow struggling or estranged from you in some way, I encourage you to bring it before God. And as a mother, maybe sometimes a mother has to take the step and say, look, child, just want you to know that I love you. And maybe that doesn't always get accepted, but that heart to persist and to love and to pray. Always pray for your children. I want to talk briefly about one more lady, Acts chapter 9. I want to talk about Dorcas. So we can turn to Acts chapter 9. Interesting name, Dorcas. Probably not a name that she'd probably want to go around with today. But the Aramaic version of her name was Tabitha. She'd probably want to go around being called Tabby or something. Tabitha, maybe better than Dorcas in today's society anyway. If there's anyone Dorcas here, I'm sorry, but no. We don't... Very uncommon name. Let's have a look at Acts chapter 9, verses 36 down to 42. Now, Peter's just done this incredible miracle in Lydda, and it's in the district of Joppa, and so the news of that is already gone around town. Verse 36, in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, that's the Greek equivalent, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. And he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning to the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. And this became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. What an incredible miracle this is. Now, Peter's just done this healing. That old Peter's in town, someone's just got healed, and... So they call him over, the disciples, the believers, call him over that he might pray for this woman who's already dead. She wasn't dying. She's as dead can be. She's dead. And he prays for her. She comes alive. She's risen from the dead. Now have a look at this lady, Tabitha or Dorcas. Was she a mother? Well, I don't know whether she was a mother or not. The scripture isn't really clear. Some people think she was a widow because she's hanging around widows, but I don't necessarily believe that is necessarily the case either, because it says that she was helping the poor. If she was one of the poor, she probably wouldn't refer it to that, be just helping others. So I kind of think that maybe she wasn't, but we don't really know from the scripture whether she was a mother, whether she was a widow. She certainly was a spiritual mother, though. If anything, she was a spiritual mother. And I honour that heart too for ladies, whether you, however old your children are, whether you don't even have any children at this stage. But you all, every lady is called to be a spiritual mother. If you're a believer, God wants you to be a spiritual mother, to rise in that, to have that heart, to have that tender, nurturing, caring heart, and to express that, not just to your own natural children or to your grandchildren, but to other people, to have that heart. And certainly, she stands out to me as one who was a spiritual mother. And certainly, when she was dead, all of these widows that were around her, that she was probably like a real mum to them, who really loved them and served them in a wonderful way. She probably was a little bit older than them. We heard that she was sick. We don't know. I don't believe she was a young lady. I think she was probably an older lady, and I believe her heart was certainly to be a spiritual mother. But it's interesting, she is, what do they call her? They call her a disciple. They call her a disciple. And remember a couple of weeks ago when I said that really disciples, what they do, disciples, they bear fruit. How do you know whether you're a believer or a disciple? You look at the fruit. Disciples will be bearing fruit. They'll be actively involved in engaging with the gospel in the community. They'll be actively involved serving within the church family. They'll have a heart. A disciple will have such a heart. And they call her a disciple who was always doing good. Because disciples bear fruit. They always are bearing fruit. And that's how the scripture describes her. And she's someone that was not saved because of doing good works. She wasn't a disciple because she was doing good works. She wasn't doing good works to get saved, but she was doing good works because she was saved. Very careful distinction. Some people think, if I do a lot of good stuff and if I'm really caring and compassionate and I'm really helpful and do all this good stuff, then that'll get me saved. Well, unfortunately, no, that's not the case. But you do those things once you're saved. You do those things because you are saved, not to get saved. And she was a disciple. And she was faithful. It says she was always doing good. And again, I appreciate that art in mothers as well, that faithfulness, just every day, every day. You know, I've done the washing a few times. I think, man, I don't know how I handle this every day or as often as that. But the heart of the mother, faithfully, faithfully serving in that. And guys, yeah, we help in whatever way we can. But there's that faithfulness, always doing good. Other thing about Dorcas that strikes me is that she was not just a generous person. See, it's one thing to be generous, and generosity is very good. I encourage everyone to be generous. The scripture encourages every one of us to be generous. Generous, yes, with our finances. Generous with our time. Generous, a heart of generosity. But more than just being generous, I think Dorcas was also very loving. Because it would have been one thing to see, okay, there's some poor widows, to pat them on the back and say, look, here's some money, here, you know, help them out, very good. But Dorcas actually got to know these ladies, in fact, to such an extent that they were distraught when she was gone. Not just because she knitted them or made them something, did a nice crochet or embroidered something for them, but because of the heart that she had. She actually showed love to them. So generosity, yes, be generous, but get to know people and love them, show them love. And that's certainly what she did. She loved them. She can be generous, but also loving. Because if you're going to make something for someone, I just can't rock up to Daniel and say, oh, look, Daniel, I made you something. Now, if I ever do make you something, run, because you'll never be able to wear it anyway. But if I just made him something, you know, and I get out and I go up there and I've got it all and I get my little, here, Daniel, try this on. Well, it's just not going to work. It's not going to fit him. It probably wouldn't fit his hand. But to make someone for someone, you've got to at least size them up. You've got to get to know them, and I'm sure she would have done that. And it's important that as we show love, don't just be generous, you know, give of yourself, giving of yourself. That's the important thing, to give of yourself, give of yourself. And that's certainly what Dorcas did. And mothers, they do that. They give of themselves, and I honour the heart of mothers that give of themselves, that they take time. The other thing about this lady is the legacy that she leaves behind. Now, praise God, she gets a second crack at leaving a legacy. She comes back from the dead. I don't think many of us are going to do that. But ultimately, though, when we die, we all will be in heaven. If we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we all will meet him in the air, the scripture says, and we'll spend eternity with him if we know Jesus Christ. Not just believing in God, but we love Jesus Christ, then that's what the promise of scripture is. But she left this incredible legacy. That when she's died, these people were there. When she was dead, the people who were there, they weren't gathered there and they weren't saying she was a great preacher, or that she was someone who, she said some all these encouraging things. What they were remembering her from is what she actually did. It's the practical things that they actually did, that were the impartation of love that went with that, the fact that she got around them and cared for them. They're the things that really touched the life. She left a legacy of love. We're going to be doing, starting next week, we're doing the 1 month to live course. Next Sunday morning we're starting. You don't want to miss one of those. You don't want to miss one. Oh no, I missed one. No, don't miss any of them. We're going to start that next. And it looks at us the question, if you only had 1 month to live, how would you live your life? Once you've got a handle on that, the challenge is to live like that every day. And really will challenge us about the legacy that we're going to leave in our own life when we die. And now this lady, when she did die, she left this incredible legacy behind. a people that loved her and were heartbroken. And it wasn't just the widows. The whole church was there. All the believers were there. She had such an impact upon them. That's the kind of heart that God wants each of us to have. They're the kind of people that God wants us to be, is to have that impact, to leave a legacy of love. What will people say about you when you're dead? When you die, will there be people heartbroken and say, oh, they love so much? Or what will it be? Because the response that you will get when you're dead depends on the response you give when you're alive. At the heart of what you sow while you can. And so I encourage every one of us to have a love that, yep, we're generous and everything else, but it's a practical love. We get involved in people's lives. It's the love that works. That is the kind of love that God wants us to have. And it's a kind of love that was reflected in the love of mothers. It's a reflection even of the love of God. And I honour that heart of mothers. And there's somebody getting a Mother's Day message right now. So that's the heart I just want to honour today. Our love, a practical love that always gives out. I just want to finish with 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is the Apostle Paul, who was a man. Now, Paul is a man's man. He's a strong man. He knows how to work with his hands. He's a strong dude. He's strong. He's wrestled wild animals. He's been beaten, flogged, stoned, you name it, shipwrecked. Been there. Paul's been there. He's done that. He is a man. He's a man's man. But he says something about the way that he lives his life and a part of the way that he was ministering to the Thessalonians. Let's have a look at it. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 6 to 8. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you. Guys, listen to this. Be a man, but you've got to learn to be gentle too. We were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. Like a mother caring for little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you became so dear to us. That's the kind of love that works, where you really love people, and I encourage you that. Mothers, do that. Love your kids, but love everyone. Be spiritual mothers, ladies. Men, love people in a practical way. This is the Apostle Paul. We were gentle among you like a mother caring for a little children. You see mothers with the little children? Very tender, very gentle, understanding, very compassionate. You cut kids a lot of slack. You do cut kids a lot of slack, don't you? Because they're just kids. We have to discipline them. If they're, you know, we have to be strong. We have to be firm. We have to show them discipline. But the gentle, like a mother caring for little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And that's a challenge for every one of us, is to showing that love that works, the practical love. And I encourage you with that. And to don't just be generous, but get into the people's lives, even as Dorcas was a great example to us. But even the Apostle Paul says, we were like that. We were apostle, man. We could have, you know, but we were gentle among you and we loved you. And that's how God wants us to be. That's how God wants us to live. That's how he wants us to show the love of Jesus Christ. We're just going to have a little clip just as we close and I'm going to pray. Just watch this. It really honors mothers. But it's the kind of heart that really God wants us to have. Let's just watch this clip. Deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her the reward she has earned. Let's just stand, let's just pray. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your great grace for us. Lord, we just thank you that you love us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we just get a little glimpse in the love of a mother. Lord, that really fades compared to the love of the Almighty God who loves us so much. Lord, we stand in awe of your love this day, that you love us. Lord, I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here today, Lord, who believes in God, maybe worships God, but just like Lydia, Lord, hasn't made Jesus the Lord of their life, hasn't actually come and made Jesus their Lord, I pray this day Lord, that if there's anyone like that today, Lord, that they will come forward, have the courage and say, yeah, I need Jesus. I believe in God, yeah, I worship God, but I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I don't know salvation. And I pray, Lord, that you will stir their heart. They will come forward for prayer even this day, this precious day. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, even as we've talked about mothers, Lord, and these incredible women, Lord, that have shown that heart. Father, the challenge for every one of us, Lord, is that we might show that love, Lord, that we might love unconditionally, Lord, that we might love practically, Lord, that we may demonstrate it, Lord, that we might get involved in the life of others around us, Lord, that we might show them true love, Lord, not just a superficial love, Lord, but a real love, Father. Help us, help every one of us, Lord, that love that works, Lord, that demonstrates, that gives so freely, that sacrifices, Lord, let each one of us walk in that love. And Father, I pray for those, Lord, that, Lord, even a day like today maybe is a difficult day, Mother's Day. Father, I pray that you be with them now. Father, for those that have lost their mother, Lord, I pray that you just comfort them, Father. But Lord, that they just always treasure the good things. Lord, always treasure, always remember the good things, Lord, the gift of life that you use their mother to bring them into this world. Father, I pray for that, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, for every person that is here today. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for mothers. We do thank you for the gift that they are to us, for the life that we have, which has come out through our mothers. Lord, we just thank you for that. But Lord, above all else, Lord, we thank you for your great love that you have. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us everything so freely. And Father, let us live as such men and such women, Lord, as young people that are here today, who live such a life, Lord, that we will leave a legacy of love. Father, let us live our lives well. And Father, even as we prepare our hearts for that series that we're doing on 1 month to live, Father, let our hearts be tuned to you. Let our hearts be soft to you, Lord, to one another. And Father, let us walk in your love and grace. Father, we pray that now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're just going to close with a song this morning.